Hello, and welcome to Soundcheck, a new program about issues, ideas, and people from Raven Radio, KCAW, and Sitka, which we are giving a test run at this time. You can listen to Soundcheck online at our website, kcaw.org, or download Soundcheck as a podcast from the iTunes Store. I'm your host, Robert Woolsey. Is Sitka's bear problem more about animal control or social engineering? Sitka's assembly seems likely to eliminate warnings and increase fines for residents who leave attractive garbage in their cans before pickup day. The move is no surprise for the members of the community's bear task force, which sees tighter enforcement as a necessary step, along with awareness and education, on the road to solving the problem. But there are many Sitkans, especially people who have lived here for a long time, who can remember when bears were never a problem. They wonder what's changed. Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologist Phil Mooney, Sitka's police chief Sheldon Schmidt, and Sitka Conservation Society executive director Andrew Tomes all sit on the task force. Phil, let's start with you. A lot of old-timers in Sitka don't even remember a bear problem. I don't know if I'm a old-timer or not. I've lived here probably about as long as you, and I just remember when bears coming into town was a really rare phenomenon. What has changed, do you think?
Well, I think there's a couple things. On the people side, we've expanded where the population is in Sitka, and as a result of that, we've pushed into areas and blocked some access, and in a way, changed some of the access that bears come into the community with the trail systems, and that's probably one factor in it. You're distributing quite a few people and residential garbage, the access to it in a lot of different manner. Two, I think the bear population is different than if you want to go back into the 50s and you look at the startup of the industrial logging operations around. Quite a few bears got taken from the camps at that time. Some of those camps were pretty close and around Sitka, Stargavin Valley, Catlian, and if you talk to the old-time crews, they will tell you they didn't really tolerate a bear whatsoever. They'd take them. And you see that fluctuation even today. In 2009, we had 19 bears in Sitka, a combination of sows and cubs. And as of today, none of those bears are still out there. 13 of them were killed outright, and the other six are in facilities that they're never going to come out of. So when something like that happens, the number of bears in town go down, and there's almost like a false reading by the people, like, oh, well, we're doing good. Well, the bears are going to come back, and they do come back. The bears are pretty dynamic, and from a recent caller that we just collected here about a month ago on a male bear that was caught and trapped down by Fortress of the Bear back in October of last year, we took it over to Krestoff Island and turned it loose with a collar. And in a year, it ended up going to Yacobi and back, crossing Peril Straits about six different times, coming as close back into town as Catlian. And the overall perimeter of that bear's home range is 352 miles. So that bear could have been seen a lot of different places. And it's a surprising home range. It's the bear was a four-year-old and a male. And that explains some of the movement, because they don't inherit any of the home range of their mother. They're just kicked out and they're on their own. And so it's pretty interesting, because the patterns of bear home ranges on Baranof don't match our research on Chichagof and Admiralty.
Hearing you talk about that collar data just reinforces for me that bears kind of move over land almost like dolphins move through the water. They just seem to move so much more quickly than we do, and the fact that they could have such a large home range isn't surprising. But I did want to ask you one more thing, Phil, about population dynamics, just some coffee shop theory, that we have more guides now and more hunting of boars, and knowing that boars prey on sows and cubs, we just have an increase in sows and cubs. Is there any truth to that at all?
Well, I think the population is affected by hunting when it's considered a trophy hunt and they're looking for bigger boars. We do have bigger sows taken in the fall when they don't have cubs and they approach sizes that look good. But hunting pressure in itself, it does affect the age structure of the bears, but we also have sows that kill cubs too, and it's not as well documented, but we have documented here on Baranoff Island a couple times.
Their own or other cubs?
Another sow's cubs.
Right. Police Chief Sheldon Schmidt, the assembly met in November and talked about making some changes to the bear ordinance here in Sitka, and it sounded just on my listening that they seem ready to back the bear task force up and back up the police.
Yeah, I think that they're very appreciative of the efforts of the task force and understanding that this is a process that we're going through, that we're changing in our attitudes towards bears in Sitka and trying to make the citizens become more responsible with their garbage to attract less bears into town. The ordinance has been on the books for a couple of years. We're definitely the first year or two, we're very heavy into education with very little citations written, but we're gradually moving towards more enforcement. And the revisions that we requested and which they approved on first reading were revisions to make the ordinance a little bit more enforceable.
So no more Mr. Nice Guy from the police
department?
We'll
still give warnings, but they're not mandated. Right now, the ordinance mandates a warning. So we can still, and we will still give warnings where it's appropriate. But there are times when a warning is not appropriate.
I'm wondering if part of the bear problem in the community is isolated in enforcement terms in a few places and a few individuals, or is it more widespread?
No, that seems to be the case, that we have a few individuals, which is not uncommon when most people comply, voluntarily comply. And when they do, we don't have any contact with them. How we're operating right now is reactive. If we're not out checking people's garbage, we're responding to calls when bears come into town and they're tipping over garbage, and that's when we are looking for enforcement mechanism, you know, to help people along, to help educate people.
Have you seen any success with the ordinance so far? I mean, would you consider it an effective tool as written? Anybody can chime in.
I think I can answer that. You know, the ordinance isn't standalone, and the ordinance isn't going to solve all of our problems. The ordinance comes along with a long-time education campaign that's letting people know that the reason bears come into town and stay in town and become a problem is if they find garbage or a human food source. And I would say that, you know, the police chief can weigh in on this, but I'd say 95% of the people in Sitka have learned that and understand that if I have garbage out or fish waste or rotting meat, bears are going to be attracted. They're going to learn that's a food source, and they're going to become a problem bear. The ordinance is for the people who haven't learned that and who, for every reason, are not paying attention to all the education that's gotten out there, and they're still kind of the people who are not taking care of their garbage and kind of keeping a pigsty in their garbage can and attracting bears and putting the rest of their neighborhood at risk.
This was what I was kind of driving at with you, Sheldon. In a lot of things, a lot of problems like this, most of society complies, and we are talking about, you know, very few people. But you have also talked about that we're on the road to solving this problem and increasing enforcement efforts or making the ordinance tougher still is not necessarily where we want to end up.
Correct. I think the people on the task force understand that this is a process to become a more bear-friendly community. And we've looked at other communities, and we're just part of the way there right now. In that sense, I think the bear attractive nuisance ordinance is successful. It's raised awareness, and we've got a lot of people complying. I think most people are complying with it. But we're not where we want to go, ultimately.
You're listening to Soundcheck from Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, with Sitka Bear Task Force members Phil Mooney, Sheldon Schmidt, and Andrew Tomes. We're talking about Sitka's bear problem and how the task force would like to solve it. We'll be back after a short break. What does a bear-friendly community look like? I'll ask you, Andrew Tomes, first, and then Phil. What does a bear-friendly community mean when you guys sit around on the task force? What are you sort of envisioning?
I think, one, it starts off with people in town being safe, that, you know, nobody's going to be scared to walk out in their neighborhood, and there's a bear that's gotten so accustomed to people and is so lack of fear of humans and thinking that they're just a food source that people in the neighborhood are at risk of getting hurt by a bear that's become a nuisance bear. And I think that we know that the more a bear is used to people and the more bears see people as a food source, the more potential danger there is for people who are around that bear. So that's the number one priority for us, is keeping people in the neighborhood safe. And then I think number two is eliminating the need to go out and remove bears from the population in the neighborhood. And I think we'll never get to a point where there's no bears that are taken in defense of life and property, and there's no problem bears ever, because bears are so variable in their personalities and their behaviors that they'll always be the bad apples of the bunch. But as long as we can minimize that as much as possible, because every time that the police department goes out or ADF&G law enforcement goes out, that's time and money and risk to people in the neighborhoods and the officers.
How about you, Phil? Do you see a bear-friendly community that way? I mean, you are the guy who often has to make the decision whether or not to pull the trigger on a bear.
Sure. I see the other thing that I would point out is that in a recent conference, there was an international conference dealing with communities across the globe, in fact, that have bears. The problem still came down to people and food and bears getting to that food. The same thing affecting Sitka is that there's not one simple fix, and it's our job to try to figure out how we can use a combination of cans, different types of cans, pickup strategies, and have some flexibility, because if you look at the data that we've got on bears coming into the community, it's not the same every year. The point about the safety is the key thing. We're not setting bears up to be more important than people. We don't want people hurt. We don't want property destroyed. We don't want pets destroyed. But a lot of that control comes from the people, not from the bears. The bears and their behavior is actually more dependable than the people.
I wanted to ask you guys, while we're talking about containing trash, I know we had a test this summer, a couple models of individual household cans, and also, I guess, what would you call it, a dumpster trial or communal garbage disposal trial in the Indian River neighborhood. And Sheldon, did you notice any reduction in the amount of calls in those areas where those cans were tested?
Yes, we did, especially first we had some bear calls down there at the beginning of the season, but we realized that that was people not latching the lids. As soon as we got the people to comply, our bear calls were greatly reduced down in Indian River. And to me, that's a vision of what it could look like in this community. Maybe we're heading that direction, because it was successful, and the bears tended to move on. They couldn't easily get into these larger 350-gallon containers that were modified with chains and latches and stuff and attached to the ground.
But you guys did provide the assembly with some pictures of cans just torn open.
It's true. They're not bear-proof. They are bear-resistant. If you fill them up with good stuff and you give a bear an opportunity, they can do damage to it. They can destroy the can. And then you've also sent another bad message to the bear, is that if he works hard enough at it, he can get that.
Well, I'm thinking that this kind of damage, and I'm showing Phil Mooney a picture of one of the tested. Is this one of the cans that was in the test?
It is one of the same type of cans.
Okay.
That's in the test.
And it's just been punched open. And I'm guessing that a bear that does this already has been into cans, and the fact that he encountered a latched can didn't seem to be much of a deterrent.
They are intelligent and they are persistent. We're fortunate in a lot of ways that most of the bears we do come in town are juveniles, sows with juveniles, and I describe their tactics as mostly hit and run. They come in, knock a can down. If something comes out, they don't necessarily stay right there. They run off.
If you think back to the bear that Phil said was collared on Sawmill Creek Road and went all the way up to Yacobia Island and came back down, that bear is looking for habitat and territory where it can get established. And probably all the way from here to Yacobia Island, it got pushed off a good habitat by other bears that were already established there. And it's looking for a place where it can find food and have a place to eat and stay safe for itself. So what we're trying to prevent with these bear-proof cans or keeping garbage out is that when one of those bears comes through Sitka, it finds food and a place to be. So if we can make sure that when a bear comes through, it's not finding an easy meal by just tipping over a garbage can, then that bear is going to move on and go someplace else. They'd rather have salmon and grass and good grass to eat than the garbage in our neighborhood. But if they have garbage and they've been pushed out of other places and have made that journey up and down the island looking for a home, and they find that garbage here, they're going to stay here and eat it. So the bear-resistant cans that we have are just to prevent those bears from coming in, knocking over a garbage can, having a bag fall out, and having a meal that it can find there.
Sheldon, I know that you've told me that as long as we have individual garbage cans, it's going to be a tough challenge. In your career in law enforcement, have you seen communities shift their thinking about problems like this?
I think different communities have a different attitude about it, and I think our communities themselves change their attitudes over time. And my personal attitude has changed. Definitely when I lived in different parts of Alaska, you know, bears that came into town were simply shot, and that's how they were dealt with. And I think it used to be that way here too. But I think we're becoming more aware that this is actually a human behavior problem. It's our trash that's bringing them into town. And over time, I've come and changed my attitude that we need to take care of our trash better. And that's the long-term solution to the problem, not simply shooting the bears.
Andrew, I know at the Sitka Conservation Society, social engineering is something that you guys think about, changing attitudes about the tongass and salmon and things like that. In your experience, can people and communities make attitude shifts when they're faced with, you know, what look like originally sort of intractable problems?
Oh, I think we already have in a lot of ways with bears. You know, we had a citizen come to our last bear task force meeting and said, you know, I know how to take care of my garbage. My wife and I, you know, keep our garbage in until the day of pickup, and we freeze the stuff that is going to smell, and then we put it out on the day of pickup, but it's my neighbor who isn't doing it. And now because of that, a bear is coming in and you know, tearing the siding off my house, and it's staying around because it knows it can get food. So we've seen a huge change in attitude, and people know how to take care of their garbage and how to be around bears. And I think now it's just a matter of using the three tactics of education, prevention, and enforcement that we're setting up here in Sitka between the police department and the garbage pickup and the school districts and the education components to make sure everybody understands that and we find some solutions. With the garbage pickup and the types of containers, and, you know, in some places even move into communal pickup in neighborhoods where that makes sense and the neighbors want it, you know, we're figuring out where are the neighborhoods where there's the most bear problem and what are some solutions in those neighborhoods. You know, we know that cost is an issue, and we're trying to keep the cost down, and we know we don't need really expensive bear resistant garbage containers over on Alice Island. But up Cascade Creek, that probably makes a lot more sense. And maybe there's places in Indian River or other neighborhoods where a communal pickup makes sense. And one of the things that we're doing is trying to move in that direction and figure out what makes sense in different neighborhoods and how do we bring all of this together.
State biologist Phil Mooney, Sitka Police Chief Sheldon Schmidt, and Sitka Conservation Society Director Andrew Tomes all sit on Sitka's Bear Task Force. Next week, the Sitka Assembly will likely eliminate warnings and increase fines for residents who don't dispose of their garbage properly. The task force sees enforcement as only a step on the way toward a solution that also includes education and awareness. Soundcheck is a new program about issues, ideas, and people from Raven Radio, KCAW, and Sitka, which we are testing in this time slot. If you'd like to listen to or comment on the program, visit Soundcheck at our website, kcaw.org. You can also download Soundcheck as a podcast from the iTunes Store. I'm Robert Woolsey. Thanks for listening in on Soundcheck.